Being comfortable and secure is fundamentally important to us as human beings. And when we find a place, a person, a time that provides comfort and security, we hold onto it. Our farmhouse kitchen countertop ran along two outside walls of our home. And in one section, there was a built-in desk with a window over it. The window faced east and looked out over the lawn, the laneway, some beautiful tall poplar trees, the garden, and then the neighbor's rolling fields. The window was tall and relatively narrow, but it had a wide interior sill, and there was a curtain that went up about halfway. As a young child, when I was much smaller than I am now, I would sit in the windowsill, my back to one side, my knees propped up, and my feet against the other side of the windowsill. And the glass was on my right, and the gauzy curtain was on the left. There I felt comfortable and secure as I smelled the home-cooked food and listened to my parents talking. And in that comfort and that security, I could gaze out at the wide world with all of its adventure, unknowns, and storms. There have been many times in my life that I wished I could simply, once again, curl up in that windowsill. This morning, we hear about Peter, John, and James, who are on the road with Jesus once again. They feel comfortable and secure with him. After all, they have left their livelihoods and followed his call. Despite the hardships and challenges this new life presents to them, they are still with Jesus, ready to go wherever he asks. And ask of them, Jesus does. They are commissioned and sent out, traveling from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing. Once they return from that mission, they go to Bethsaida, where 5,000 people come to hear Jesus. And the disciples panic and worry about feeding them. But a few fish and some bread are miraculously more than enough. Along their travels, Jesus continually prods the disciples, asking questions like, who do people say that I am? And who do you say that I am? He is always teaching, and they are always learning, developing a relationship that is comfortable and secure enough for Jesus to finally tell them that he is going to suffer and die, and that they must continue to take up their cross and follow him, no matter what. The disciples are tired, so very tired. It has been a long journey these last few years. Despite now having climbed a mountain and being weighed down with sleep, they somehow manage to stay awake. And they see that as Jesus prays, his face is transfigured, his clothes become dazzling white, and Moses and Elijah are talking with him. The disciples aren't afraid. In fact, they're delighted to be there. They're in awe of what is happening. And just like me, tucked up, comfortable, and secure in my childhood windowsill, they want to stay there in that moment. So Peter, always enthusiastic, suggests building three dwellings for these great prophets. And then, and only then, does a cloud come, overshadow and envelop them, and a voice rings out, "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him." And they are terrified. So terrified that afterwards they keep silent, and don't tell anyone what happened. Their comfortable and secure world with Jesus just became too adventurous, too unknown, and too stormy. Today at St. John's, we stand on a mountaintop here in this place where we find comfort and security. Here where we share meals, pray and worship, engage in conversation, care for one another, and do our very best to minister to those in our wider communities. On this mountaintop, we can look back and see where we have come from, the amazing things that we have done, the things that we want to remember and celebrate, the conflicts that we have gone through and would probably rather forget, the joys we have celebrated, and all of the challenges we have met, including a $500,000 wall. There is comfort and security in knowing that Jesus has walked with us through it all, even if we are somewhat tired. Standing on this mountaintop isn't frightening. In fact, we may well be in awe of what this parish has accomplished through the ministry over the years, the endless years of ministry in this place. And like me in my childhood windowsill and the disciples on the mountaintop as Jesus is transfigured, it would be so wonderful just to stay here, to keep our church the way it has always been, to hold our memories along into the future, and to build a shrine and remain comfortable and secure. But we cannot, and we must not, no matter how terrified we may be by the cloud of an uncertain future which overshadows and envelops us. The cloud of maintenance, upkeep, and renovation of an old building. The cloud of having used up our rainy day savings. The cloud of a shrinking church growing population and the accompanying decrease in financial and volunteer support. The cloud of a vast and needy mission field outside our doors where people long for spirituality but are wary of institutionalized religion. Our comfortable, secure church is in an adventurous, unknown, and stormy time. And that same voice is ringing out, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." Rather than simply be terrified and silent, turn tail and run, or hide in the windowsill of our memories, we must act. Now is the time to stand firm on the mountaintop of comfort and security of our faith. Listen to Jesus and let his word transfigure us and transform us to help us move boldly into the future. Those outside these walls wait for us. They wait for us to share a message of freedom, love, release, and acceptance through both our words and our deeds and our presence. And since, as Paul says, it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not need to lose heart. St. John's has always been a cardinal parish of this diocese, and I believe that it will remain so long into the future. This parish is open, compassionate, creative, and committed. And we need to stay open and yet mindful of healthy boundaries. We need to become even more compassionate and yet be mindful of the balance of caring. We need to be creative and yet mindful of our energy and our scope. We need to be very committed and yet mindful of sustainability. We must become more fully human, more fully ourselves, more fully St. John's in this time of uncertainty. I invite you to participate fully in this year's opportunities to worship and to pray, to develop your spirituality and develop our sense of community, to engage with one another and to learn with one another, to fully ground ourselves in our strong and rich spiritual tradition. And we must continue to be positive and hopeful in the face of adversity. So I urge you to consider how you contribute to God's mission for us here in this place. Are you able to give more in terms of money or energy or ministry? What new and creative ideas are you able to suggest? What contacts do you have and what networks do you belong to that might be helpful to us? Are you supportive and caring of all those called to bring and to show leadership in this time? And we must call on those who walk beside us for support. I, with the assistance of the wardens, will be writing to the bishop to outline where we are at financially and structurally, although they already well know. He already knows, both of our bishops know, to convey our plan of creating an abundant future, to show our hope that St. John's will become a ministry hub here in Centertown, and to invite the diocese to partner with us more fully by investing in St. John's financially and assisting us to find ways of becoming sustainable. In all of this, we must stand firm in the comfort and security of our relationship with God. Follow in Jesus' footsteps and boldly trust the freedom which is found in the Holy Spirit. The adventure that we are on together is unknown and it is stormy at times. But we're not on this journey simply for its own sake, but rather for the sake of transfiguration, for transformation into a radiant new life and a dazzling new world. St. John's has a history of both courage and boldness, and I believe in our capacity to take that history and turn it into our future. The Diocese of Ottawa, the community of Centertown, needs St. John's. And St. John's needs the Diocese of Ottawa and the community of Centertown. And we need each other. May we boldly move forward toward the future that God has in store for us, which is starting right now, so that generations after us will find comfort and security in this place, in this community that we love.